Amen. Thank you for that special. And I hope you've got heaven on your mind today. Amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles back to Luke chapter 11 this morning. Luke chapter 11. As we continue learning about prayer and fasting, we spent several weeks talking about fasting because that's the thing that I think that we have neglected so much, and maybe some of us haven't known much about, and the challenge has been given to us as a church that we would all spend at least one day every week in fasting. And to whatever degree that is for you, maybe you're just getting started. You can only do like a what some people call a Daniel fast, only doing without certain types of food, or maybe you can only skip one meal, or maybe some of you are fasting without food and water for multiple days. I don't know where anybody's at. That's between you and the Lord. But as a church, that we would spend that time fasting. But fasting without praying is really just making yourself hungry. And who wants to do that? There ought to be a purpose to our fasting. We want to fast with purpose. We want to fast get the attention of God. We want to see God answer our prayers. We want to pray with fervent effectiveness. We want to see God do things as we pray. And so today we're going to learn about a critical element to answered prayer. Would you like to see your prayers answered? Amen. Okay, so we're going to learn from the Lord on something that's critical to that end. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, if you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's word. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his... And I want you guys to say that next word with me, okay? It's a weird word. We're going to say it together. 1, 2, 3. Importunity. That was really... It was a good effort. Let's try that one more time. 1, 2, 3. Importunity. That's a word you use all the time, right? Now, this word is a rare word in our vocabulary. It's actually a rare word in the scriptures. But he says, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as much as he needeth. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, yet again we pray that you'll help in our time of need. God, we need you every moment of every day. We pray for your help, your grace, and your mercy now. We pray that your Holy Spirit would come and guide us into all truth, that you would teach us all things from the Father. We pray you give us understanding of the word and help us to rightly divide it today. And God, not only that we would know your word, but that we would hear your sayings and keep them and do them. Father, that we would be faithful doers of the word by your grace and by your spirit. Please help us to be men and women, boys and girls who love you, who walk with you faithfully, who follow Jesus day by day, and men and women and boys and girls who pray consistently and who pray with importunity. Please help me now, I pray, that you'll help and bless this message for your glory and for our good. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. John Bunyan said, prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. Now, I think if we're honest, none of us pray as much as we know we should. I think we're honest, most of us would say, I don't pray as much as I should, and when I pray, I don't pray the way that I should. But there's great news about that, because all of us can pray more. We all of us can pray without ceasing. And we all of us can learn to pray the way Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Now, when they said, teach us to pray, the first thing he did was give them a pattern for prayer. You might call it the disciples' prayer or the model prayer. When I was growing up, people called it the Lord's Prayer. And we understand it wasn't the prayer that Jesus prayed. It was the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. So we get that. But it's a pattern to pray by, and we looked at that a little bit last week. Today, I want you to notice that Jesus gives a word, and he gives us a critical element to answered prayer, and he says to pray with importunity. This word importunity, I said, was rare. It's the only time it's used in the entire New Testament. It's a Greek word that literally means to not be bashful. It literally means not blushing. It has the idea of being shameless. Now, Webster, the old Webster's dictionary, defines it like this. Importunity is pressing solicitation, urgent request. It's application for a claim or favor which is urged with troublesome frequency or pertinacity. And then we got to figure out what pertinacity is, right? It's this. It's an urgent request that you're giving over and over and over and over. It's this need. One pastor defined it as this. It's helpless, urgent consistency. Helpless, urgent consistency. When we pray, we're to pray with importunity. And the Lord gives us this illustration of an importunity in prayer. He says, if you have a friend and you go into him at midnight and say, listen, I've got somebody that showed up. I need 3 loaves. And the guy says, listen, I'm inside. The door's shut. The kids are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you. He says he won't give up. He won't get up and give him what he's asking for because he's his friend, but he will because of his importunity. And so we want to dig into that a little bit today and try to understand this. I want you to know, first of all, we have a friend that we can go to in our time of need. Amen. Jesus says in John 15:15, I have called you friends. Amen. Jesus Christ has made us his friends. Now, I don't know if that registers with you like it does with me, but I just want you to understand this. The God of the universe who spoke everything into existence, the God who is above all things, almighty creator of all things up in heaven, has made you his friend through the death and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus has revealed to us all things. He didn't hold anything back. He's told us the things that the Father gave to him, he gave to us, and we have his word today, and he's not kept us in the dark, but he's brought us in close to him. And not only are we children of God through faith in Jesus, but we're friends of God, and we have a friend that we can go to in our time of need. Amen. We can go to that friend at any time. He goes to his friend at midnight. At midnight. I just wonder, how many of you have some midnight friends? Anybody have some midnight friends? I'm just wondering, do you got anybody, if you were in need, you could call them up or show up at their house at midnight and they wouldn't be mad at you. Anybody have a friend like that? All right, praise God. Some of you think I'm that kind of friend? I hope I would be that kind of friend. Listen, some of you have some midnight friends. How many of you have some friends that are more like 9 o'clock friends? About 9 o'clock, that's about it. Maybe 10, maybe after the news. You could call on them until the news is over, and then it's over. Like, don't call me after 10:15. I've seen the weather, and I'm done for the day. Some of us have friends that are maybe 9 o'clock friends. Some of us have friends that are midnight friends. Some of us have friends that we could call on any time, day or night. Can I tell you, we have a friend that we can go to in our time of need, and you can go to him at any time. Amen. Listen. You remember when Elijah was facing off with the prophets of Baal and he's kind of making fun of them? He says, cry a little louder. Maybe Baal's taking a nap. Maybe he's on vacation. And he's mocking them as they're crying out to their false god. And I don't know, but I love that. Like, it gives me a little justification for my sarcasm at times. And we need that, right? So he's mocking them and saying maybe he's asleep. Well, listen, Baal doesn't exist. He was a false god made out of wood or stone or metal, but the God of heaven who created all things is alive and well. He's always existed, and he never takes a nap. He's never asleep. He's never on vacation. He's always there. He's always available. And through Jesus dying on the cross, when his body was torn for us, when he died on Calvary, the Bible says that the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. The Holy of Holies was opened up. The throne room of God is made accessible through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can go to God Almighty anytime, any day or night, any time of your life. You can cry out to him in your time of need. You need him, and he's always available. Isn't that good? Amen. Listen, you have a God, and he is your friend, and you can go to him at any time. And listen, we have specific needs, and we should ask God specifically. I heard a message, and I love these things get passed down. I heard a message, and he said in his message, he said, our prayers should never be hazy, our prayers should never be crazy, and our prayers should never be lazy. And he said, I heard that message. I think he said, I heard that message in 1976, and it changed his life. He said, my prayer life has never been the same since then. And he took it and he preached it. And I'm not going to take the whole thing and preach it again today, but I love that. Don't let your prayers be hazy. Don't let them be crazy. And don't let them be lazy. What's that mean? Don't let your prayers be hazy. Don't just pray things like, hey, I'll just use myself as an example. How many of you pray for your pastor? Thank you. God bless you for that. I see that hand there. Thank you. No, listen, you ought to pray, but can I just encourage you? Don't just pray, God bless Brother Isaac. Pray things specifically. What does that mean? What is it that you're asking God for? When I pray for you, I do pray, God be with them, God help them. But listen, when you're sick, I say, God, please heal them. Amen. God, please take that disease from their body. We need to pray specifically. We need to pray. Specifically, when people have a need, we don't just say, Lord, be with them, Lord, bless them, but we're asking for specific things. When the man shows up at midnight, listen to what he says. He doesn't say, hey, can I have some bread? He says, I need 3 loaves. Amen. He asks specifically, and we have specific needs. We should ask specifically, so we don't want our prayers to be hazy. Don't let them be arbitrary. Listen, if you're not even serious enough about something to ask God specifically for a need, then why would God mess with answering your prayer? Now listen, there are times when we don't know what to pray. And God's got that covered too. The Spirit itself maketh intercession forth with groanings which cannot be uttered. There are times that we don't even know what to say, and God's got that covered. When you're just broken and all you can say is, God, help me, or God, I need you, or you can't even say anything, all you can do is break down before God. That's okay too, but I'm saying when we pray day in and day out, we need to pray specifically. Amen. I'm amazed at how God takes care of that stuff, and when you start praying specifically, you're going to see God answer specific prayers. When you start praying specifically, listen, when you need $110 in the bank to cover a bill, God will give you $110 sometimes. Amen. Or maybe he'll give you a little extra just to cover it. Have any of you seen God do stuff like that? That just exactly what you need shows up exactly the right time, and you have no idea where it came from or how God did it? Well, when you start praying specifically, you're going to see God do specific things. Amen. We have a friend. We can go to him at any time. Our needs are specific, so we should ask specifically. And then we have other friends, and we don't have anything to set before them. Remember, he's going to his friend on behalf of the needs of another friend. He's saying, listen, I've got somebody who's come to my house, and I need to set food before them. They've been traveling. They've been journeying, and I need to feed them, and I can't do it, but you can help. You see, when we go to God, we're not just saying, Lord, I need this, but we're saying, God, I'm coming before you because I got a friend and they need something and I can't help them, but I know you can. Amen. You see, that's the reality of our prayers and our supplications. We're going to God on behalf of somebody else saying, God, I can't do this. I can't help them. I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to give, but I know you can supply all my needs. In biblical days, in those times, listen, it was a... They didn't have Holiday Inns and things like that. Sometimes there were inns, there were places to stay. But what normally happened was when a traveler came to town, they would go to someone they know, and they would take them in. They would lodge them for the night, and they would do good things for them. When somebody came to your house, you would offer water. You would wash their feet or allow them to wash their feet. You would take care of their animals. You would give them provender for their animals. You would give them water for their animals. I'm so excited. They would give provender for their animals. You know, sometimes I can just keep going, and you guys are gracious and just ignore it, but sometimes I just can't. Just got to stop. Aminals, that's fun. I'll never be able to say it right again. They would take care of their livestock, and then they would provide food for them. Amen. They would provide food for them. They would have a meal for them. And he says, listen, I've got a friend who showed up, and I don't have anything to set before them. It was a shame, and it was an embarrassment, and it was something they would say, listen, I can't do anything here. I need help. I am bringing a reproach on my family. I'm not doing what I need to do because I don't have anything for them. And so you have a friend that you can go to, and he is able to give whatever we need. He's able to give whatever we need. When we pray, we need to remember the love of God that wants the best for us, the wisdom of God that knows what is best for us, and the power of God that can accomplish it. Our God is able. He loves us. He has wisdom to give us what's best for us, even when we don't know what that is. But he will bless. Now listen, he may delay. Somebody once wisely said, I believe, sometimes God answers our prayers with yes, sometimes he answers our prayers with no, and sometimes he answers our prayers with not now. And sometimes there's delays in God's answers. Sometimes he delays. I remember we talked about there at Mount Carmel, you remember it hadn't rained in all those years, and when it was time to pray for rain, Elijah goes and prays, and he sends a servant, go look at the sea and see, and it was the seventh time he sent him to go look. He said, I see a little cloud like a hand coming up in the sea. You remember that? Seven times he prayed. Seven times he prayed. Well, we read in James, and James lauds him for his faith. He says, listen, he prayed and it didn't rain, and he prayed and it did rain. But listen, he didn't just pray one time. He prayed and sent him seven different times to go. And sometimes God delays in answering our prayers. Amen. George Mueller is a man from history who was a man of great faith and great praying. And when he was asked how much time he spent in prayer, he said, hours every day, but I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk and when I lie down and when I arise, and the answers are always coming. Listen, you need to spend time in prayer. There ought to be a place where you get alone with God. Jesus did that. He had a certain place he would go to and he would pray. We need that. But then we need to always be in communication with God. We need to be praying without ceasing all the time. And as we are always praying, when we get up and we go out and we come back in, we're always praying. The answers are always coming. Someone once said, God's delays are not God's denials. We do not know why he sometimes delays the answer. And at other times, he answers before we call. Sometimes the answer is already there before we ask, and sometimes we have to wait. George Mueller, one of the greatest men of prayer of all time, he had to pray over a period of more than 63 years for the conversion of a friend. Mueller said, the great point is never to give up until the answer comes. I have been praying for 63 years and 8 months for one man's conversion. He is not converted yet, but he will be. How can it be otherwise? There is the unchanging promise of Jehovah, and on that I rest. Amen. Oh, how good, kind, gracious, and condescending is the one with whom we have to do. I am only a poor, frail, sinful man, but he has heard my prayers 10,000s of times. Amen. That man that Mueller prayed for actually didn't get saved until after Mueller died, and he was saved before the funeral. But he prayed for over 63 years. Friends, we need to learn to pray with importunity. We need to learn to pray because we have a friend and we can go to him at any time and we can ask him specifically for what we need. And we have other friends that have needs and we can't do anything to help them. But he, our friend, is able to do whatever we would ask. He's able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. Now, I want to remind you today, when we pray, we need to pray with faith. We need to pray believing. When we pray, we need to pray not regarding iniquity in our hearts. Amen. When we pray, we need to pray with forgiveness in our hearts to others. There are things in our lives that can hinder our prayers, but our God is able, and He invites us to pray with importunity. So what is it? The man comes. Hey, friend, I need 3 loaves. I got another friend who showed up, and I don't have anything to set before him. Hey, friend, I need some help. I need 3 loaves. And the man groggily wakes up, and in those days, they probably had just 1 room, and everybody probably literally was all one place sleeping together. And he says, listen, the door's shut. The kids are in bed. Go away. Leave us alone. I'll help you tomorrow. No, friend, you got to understand, I need help right now. My friend's here, and I don't have anything for them. They've been traveling all day. I need you. He says, now listen, I'm in bed with the kids. Leave me alone. He says, no, I can't wait. I can't wait till tomorrow. I need help now. Open the door. I need 3 loaves. Please come help me. My friend's here. I can't wait any longer. And he just keeps knocking and keeps knocking. And finally, the friend says, all right, I will get you the loaves. Here are the loaves. Go away. I'm just guessing that's how he was. How would you be? Like, some of you right now are super annoyed with all the knocking, aren't you? Right? That was intentional. Like, you're just like, stop knocking, right? But that's what importunity is. And this is incredible to me, because this is what Jesus says. Pray like an annoying neighbor knocking on your door who won't leave you alone. God is asking you, Jesus is teaching you to pray in this manner. Amen. Lord, how do we pray? Well, just imagine this. You go to your friend's house because you need 3 loaves for another friend, and he won't get up because he's already in bed, and you just keep knocking, and you keep knocking, and you keep knocking, and you keep asking until you drive him to the point that he says, I don't really care about you anymore. I don't like you anymore. I don't like your friend, but here's the loaves. Leave me alone. This is what he says. And then he goes on in verse 9. Look at it. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He says, listen, I want you to pray with importunity. This is the way I want you to pray. I want you to pray like you're desperate for help. I want you to pray like you can't do it on your own. I want you to pray like you're going to keep knocking until you get an answer. You're going to keep asking until you get an answer. You're going to keep seeking until you find. I want you to pray like you're going to keep praying and keep praying and keep praying until God in heaven answers you. That's how He wants us to pray. This is how Jesus teaches us to pray. James 4, verses 1 through 3 says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts which war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. See, we ought to keep everything in balance. He's saying, pray with importunity, and I will bless you. But when we pray, our prayers aren't hazy. We're specific, but they're also not crazy. Amen. How do we make sure our prayers aren't crazy? Well, we pray according to God's will. Amen. How could Mueller be so confident to pray for his friend to be saved? Because he knows, he's claiming the promise, the Word of God says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Now listen, there's things that you could pray for that would be crazy. Like, I don't know. Maybe you could be praying for, like, an airplane or something. That would be crazy. Maybe. Maybe you're praying for a Rolls Royce or something. I don't know. I was going to say a Bentley. You're praying for a Bentley. We want to always pray inside the will of God. You see, when our hearts in prayer are right, then we're praying for the things that are the desires of God's heart. We're praying for souls to be saved. We're praying for disciples to be made. We're praying for families to be healed. We're praying for our nation to experience revival. We're praying for an awakening. We can expect the promises of God. And we seek until we find. We ask until it's given. We knock until it's opened. And we know that our Heavenly Father is good. We know that our Heavenly Father is so good. Would you look at Hosea 12, verse 3? Hosea 12 and verse 3. This is interesting because Hosea is actually proclaiming a judgment against Israel, but in the midst of it, there's something so beautiful, and it goes right along with what we're talking about. Hosea 12 and verse 3, speaking of Jacob, said, "He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. Therefore turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually." Now, write this down in your notes. Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, verses 22-32. Genesis 32, 22-32. I want to encourage you to go and read that this afternoon, but you remember this. Jacob is headed home. And he's going to meet with his brother Esau. Now remember, he ran away from Esau because Esau was going to kill him. And he spent all this time away, and now it's time to go back. And God has blessed him abundantly. And he sends a gift ahead. And he sends some of his servants ahead with a great gift of cattle. I think it was 580. And he sends them ahead, and he says, "You let Esau know I'm coming, and I'm coming behind, and I've got this great gift for him." And there he's going to wait. And he sends all his family over the river, and he stays by himself that night. And the Bible says that night he wrestles with God. He wrestles with the angel of the Lord. And he wrestles all night. Now, some people look at this and they say, well, it's just analogous. It's just an illustration. It's just figurative. But I'm telling you that there was a real physical battle going on that night. And when the sun was about to come up, when it was time for Jacob to get up and to go, his business was about to start. He's been wrestling with God all night. And the Lord says, "Let me go. The sun's coming up. It's time for you to go." And he says, "I'm not going to let go until you bless me. I'm not going to let go until you bless me." And God touches his leg and puts his hip out of joint, and he still won't let go. He's holding on. "I'm not going to let go until you bless me. I'm not going to let go until you bless me." And Hosea tells us that he held on to God, and he had power over the angel, and he prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He was holding on to God. He was crying unto God. He was pleading with God. He's saying, "I'm not going to let go until you bless me. I'm not going to let go. God, you've given me all of these things, and I'm not worthy of any of these blessings. I'm not worthy of your mercy, and I'm not going to let go until you bless me. You've given me all this, and I don't want to go home and have Esau kill me and take it all away." His life was on the line. Everything was so serious to him that he couldn't let go. And friends, I'm telling you, when you pray with that kind of importunity, God in heaven will not ignore you. He is a good, good God. He is so, so good, and he loves you, and he wants what's best for you. And it may not be what you think, but he's going to do what's best for you. And it may not be on your time, but he'll do what's best for you in his time. And you just hold on, and you keep crying out until you get an answer. Now, I'm going to tell you, sometimes I believe God very clearly will tell you in your heart, no. Amen. But until he does that, You keep praying and you say, God, I'm not going to let go. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep asking. I'm not going to stop until you bless me. I'm not going to stop until you give an answer. And he held on. Amen. He held on. Man, what an incredible account in Scripture. It's amazing what happened here. And I just want to encourage you to look at it. He says that he called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. He said, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to change your name. You're not going to be the supplanter. You're not going to be the trickster anymore. You're going to be a prince in Israel. Now you're going to be one who prevailed because you prevailed over your brother and now you're prevailing with me in prayer. Listen, I'm telling you, God can give you victory, but you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to pray with importunity. Pray with importunity. We have a God who loves us, who is able. We have a friend. We can go to him at any time. We can give him specific needs, and he gives specifically. He says, because he is his friend, not because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And our God will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. I wonder, what is it that you need to pray about today? I wonder what needs you have. Because we all stand in need of God today. Amen. You need him spiritually. And you need him mentally and emotionally. And you need him physically. And you may have health needs or financial needs. You may have some family things going on. You may be struggling with some things in your heart and mind. I don't know what it is, but God does. And he wants you with importunity to come to him in prayer now and throughout the day and the next day and the next day and to keep pleading with him, to keep knocking, to keep holding on until he gives you an answer. This morning I want to ask you to stand with me and ask your musicians to come. Somebody asked Charles Spurgeon one time what his secret to his spiritual power was. His answer was knee work. Knee work. There's a man called, people all called Uncle John Vassar. He was part of the Tract Society. His pastor said of him, he absolutely prayed day and night. He prayed about everything. Prayed for almost everything. Prayed with almost everybody he met. He prayed when he went out and when he came in. He prayed before every religious service. Then he prayed all the way through it. I have occupied the same room with him night after night and rarely went to sleep without hearing him in prayer or awoke without finding him in prayer. May we learn to be men and women and boys and girls of prayer. That we are crying out to God with importunity every day. What is the need you have? What is the need that your friend has? Your friend that you desperately wish that you could help them. Your family who is hurting so bad and there's nothing you can do, but there's a God in heaven who can. I'm telling you that there are people who need to be saved and people who are hurting in ways you can't imagine and there are situations and you feel helpless and you say, there's nothing I can set before them. I have nothing. I have nothing, God. But we have a friend. We have a God in heaven who can and he will give. So let's pray until he does. If he's convicting your heart, you come. You come right now while we sing.